talking about raising godly children in a perverted world. First, what I'm going to do is talk about how the Lord has a call on our children's life, and He has a call on our life. But the enemy wants to pervert that. So let's go and look at what the definition of perversion is. Perversion is the alteration of something from its original course. It's distortion. It's a misrepresentation, corruption, and a twisted distortion of the truth. So what is the truth? The truth is the Word of God, right? That is the truth. It's the final truth. That's it. So the enemy wants to twist the truth and distort the truth and pervert it. And we can look around in our world and see that it's very obvious that the truth is twisted and perverted. You know, girls can become boys. Boys can become girls. People can have sex with whoever they want to have sex with. We're not allowed to discipline our children. You know, they've taken prayer out of the schools, and they're trying to take, you know, Bibles and prayer out of many things. So everything is just very perverted, you know, from its original plan, God's original plan. And we can just look back into the book of Genesis and see that we were created for God and by God in His image to serve Him. Man's supposed to be with woman, and that is just the bottom line. And so this generation has really perverted and corrupt that. So in that, I believe that the enemy has done that because, you know, he wants to lie and deceive and trick and trap our young people into having false identities and just, you know, bring them into his calling for their lives and not the Lord's calling, and just really lead them astray. So just like we see the call of God on our lives, there's an enemy that has a call of God on our lives and in our children's lives. He intends to mold them and shape them for the kingdom of darkness and to have them join forces and alliances with Him. And all of that is completely contrary of God. Amen? So it is our job, it is our mission to take back what the enemy is stealing and to take back our children's identity forcefully. We are not playing with the enemy. We have to know his schemes. We have to discern his schemes. It's time to fight for our family and fight for our children and really fight for the call of God that is on their lives. And so, you know, I asked myself, like, how can I do this? How can I fight for the call of God on my children's lives? And so I saw this plaque on my wall in my house, and it says, so for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is just the bottom line. We are going to serve God in my home, in my house. We are going to serve the Lord. This plaque hangs on a wall over a door in our house. And it's a statement, it's a scripture, but it also is the way and the truth that we have decided to live our lives in our home. And it starts with me telling my kids who they are, whether they really believe in it or not. We have decided to speak destiny and purpose over our children. We speak purpose and vision into them. I tell my daughter all the time where she came from and where she's going. And I'm just planting seeds in her. I say to her all the time, you know, where did you come from? And she says now, after, you know, many times of me asking her, she says she came from heaven. I said, where are you going when you die? And she says she's going to heaven. So she came from heaven. She's going back to heaven. And the reason I have implanted that in her so strongly is because I believe it's important to know that she was sent here on a mission from heaven. So she didn't just come from nowhere. She came straight from heaven. And she is going back there when she dies. And she is here on this earth for a mission and a purpose. And And that is something that I have ingrained in her. And whether she believes it or not right now, it's there, and I'm going to continue to water that seed so that she grows and blossoms into this mighty woman of God that I know that she is. So Proverbs 18:21, everybody knows this scripture. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." So what we say and what we speak over our children will bear much fruit. Every seed that we plant into them is going to grow. And after we plant those seeds, we need to continue to water them. If you get a plant and you don't water it, it's going to die, right? So my husband just bought me a plant for Easter, and I watered it once. I put it on the table. You know, I don't have a lot of plants in my house. So I watered it once. I put it on the table. And then I took it outside to get some fresh air, and I forgot that I put it out there, and I forgot to water it. And when I went out there to see it the next time, all the flowers had died off of the plant. There was no flowers on it, and it was just, you know, green, but it was like dwindling away, dying. So I was like, uh-oh, I forgot about the plant. So I came out and watered it, and what did I do? I forgot about it again. A couple days later, it was even more dead. So if you don't water the seeds that you plant in your children, you know, they may eventually die. So you need to continue to water the seeds that you're planting in your kids, encourage them, pray for them, mold them, shape them for their future. Pray like into their future, like pray about their future. Ask the Lord to show you, like, what is their call? What is the treasure inside of them? Like, who are they in you? And find that treasure inside of them and call it out of them. Really ask the Lord to show you, you know, what it is that they're good at, what their talents are, you know, what you can help to mold and shape in their lives, what you can hone. You know, my daughter was playing the piano for a while. And I really thought, you know, she was good at it. She likes to sing. She likes to play the piano. So I got her lessons because I wanted to mold and shape the gift that's inside of her. So as soon as I came into agreement with this gift, this is so funny how the enemy works. She decided after a month that she didn't want to do the piano lessons anymore. So, you know, as a mom, I wanted to continue to push her to do it. But, you know, I also said that if we get this started and she doesn't really practice at home and stuff, then, you know, we're not going to continue doing it. It's expensive, you know. But if you see gifts in your children, then, you know, you should do whatever it is that you can do as a parent to really help to shape and mold those gifts. So I'm going to share with you 6 different ways to bring your children into God's call and into their true identity. Because like we said, the enemy wants to steal their identity. He wants to start while they're just little children and really plant a bunch of bad seeds of rejection, of, you know, think about our lives, you know, all the stuff that we went through before we got to the place of salvation. All of those things happened when we were children because the enemy was trying to call us to be something else. He wanted us on his team. He wanted us to work for him. He wanted us to value his ways and love his ways. And see, God is completely contrary to that. And I just thank the Lord because this is the thing. I didn't have a family that was like into the things of the Lord. Not that I didn't have a good family, I have a great family, but I didn't have a family that went to church every Sunday, was teaching me biblical principles and biblical values. You know, they didn't know it themselves, so they just weren't teaching it because they weren't brought up that way. But, you know, we had a form of godliness, but we lacked the power of it. So my kids have one up on me because I'm able to implant and impart to them what I know. And so it is my responsibility as a mother to show them the right way and to lead them and guide them and really hone them into the things of God and plant godly morals and plant godly principles. And there's so many things that I do in my home in order to do that. And that's going to be a whole nother message, but, you know, I show it in my house on a daily basis. I'm not just, going to church and coming home. I'm living it, and my kids are watching me, and I'm role modeling to them what Jesus looks like. And as I do that, I'm able to really call forth the identity and the call on their lives and point them in the direction that they should go. You know, everybody knows the scripture, train a child up in the way that they should go and they shall not depart from it. And that is the truth. You know, the seeds that we plant, the things that we do when our children are young, are going to grow, and they're never going to forget those things. I mean, I don't forget when I got saved when I was just a little child, you know, and I went all my years in my drug addiction before I came back to that place. But, you know, when I got saved, the Lord remembered. Remember when you gave your life to the Lord when you were just a little girl? So it is a big deal. So let's get back to what I was talking about. I'm going to give six things to help to bring your children into their calling and their identity in Christ. And these are important things because these are things that they need to know and they need to have. And what I've learned, because I have a teenager, is that I cannot beat Jesus into her. I can't beat her with the Bible. I can't bring her to church enough to get her to know the Lord. So what I can do is these six simple things so that she can just see Jesus in me. So it's not about like having to tell her. It's about showing her the love of Christ and then bringing her into her calling and her knowing what his character is just by me being who I am. So the first thing is valuing them. When you value your kids, it's saying that you consider them important and that they're worthwhile. You hold them in a high regard. Like, I value my husband. I love my husband. I value him. I hold him in a high regard. He's worth something to me. But it also means to determine that what something is worth. So what the value that you place on something determines what it's worth. So your children need to know that they're valuable to you, that they're priceless. Amen. So they need to feel valuable from the very beginning. You need to remember that the Lord has numbered every single hair on their head and they are valuable to him. So they need to know that they are valuable to you also. And so the scripture that I have that I believe really mirrored valuing your children is Ephesians 2:10, and it says, it tells of their value by saying, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork." His work of art. Our children are God's work of art. How valuable are they to him? Created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us. So this scripture goes really with what I tell my daughter all the time. You came from heaven, you're going back to heaven, and there you have a plan and a purpose. You are valuable to God. He created you, and you have value and worth. And so that is number one. Number two is loved. I'm going to go through these quickly. Our children need to know that we love them with an everlasting love, just like God loves us. And when you know someone loves you, man, you feel so secure, right? You ain't worried about a thing. Somebody can say something to me about my husband, and I'm like, you know what? I know that my husband loves me, so you can't tell me nothing. You know, the Lord, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to me, Israel, from ages past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you." They need to know that they are loved by us and that they are loved by the Lord, that God loves them. He enjoys being around them. He enjoys spending time with them, just like we love to be around them and we enjoy spending time with them. We need to impart that into them. Our children need to feel value, number one, and they need to feel loved. These are the characteristics of Jesus Christ. This is what he wants to make us feel like so that we know who we are and we can come into the calling of God on our lives. And this is the same with our children. They need to feel accepted, okay? They need to feel approved, embraced, adequate, delighted in, that they have favor on them. Our children need to know that they are accepted in the beloved. And not only are they accepted in God, but they are accepted in us. We accept them for who they are. We love them right where they're at. There is no mountain too high or no valley too low that would take them away from the acceptance that we have for them, the love that we have for them. They are approved. They don't have to do anything or work hard for us to accept them. They don't have to get straight A's for them to be accepted by us. We accept them right where they're at. Of course, we nurture them and we help them in their weaknesses, but that doesn't measure the level of acceptance that we have for them. We accept them for just who they are, and we embrace them for who they are, and we help mold and shape them. Amen. Number four is they need to know that they're chosen, that they have been selected as the best. They are chosen by God. My daughter says to me all the time, how do you know that your God is the God when there's a million other gods? I say to her, honey, because I didn't choose him. I didn't go looking for him. He chose me. And she needs to know that she is chosen as well. So God chose you for a time such as this, to live on this earth in this generation, to be a voice in this generation. And you are chosen for greatness. You are chosen to serve the Lord in this generation. You are chosen to be a mighty woman of God. You were born in, she was born in 2004, December 1st, 2004, for a purpose and for a reason, because God chose you to be on the earth at this time. And that is a seed that I constantly implant in her. You are not a mistake. You are chosen by God. And number five is that you are seen. You are seen. I see you. You see your children. They are seen. They are visible. They are important. Your phone isn't the most important thing. Your work isn't the most important thing. Your ministry is not the most important thing. Listen, while I'm doing this and while I'm saying this, I get convicted myself, because there are times where I put other things before my children. Your children want to know that you've see them, okay? That you see them, that they are visible to you and important to you. Put down your phone and pay attention to what they're saying and what they're doing and what they're doing in school. Put down your work stuff and go to their you know, their graduations and the things that are important. You know, it only happens once. And so they need to know that they are seen. That's number five. Number one, let me go back through real quick if you didn't get it. Number one is value. Number two is loved. Number three is accepted. Number four is chosen. Number five is seen. And number six is that they are good. They are righteous, they are upright, they are virtuous, they are exceptional, they are satisfactory, they are wonderful, they are awesome, they are splendid, they are good. Kids hear that they are bad constantly, you know, that they're not good enough. The world implants that in them all the time, that if they don't look a certain way or they don't act a certain way, that they're not good enough. You need to implant into your children that they are good. They are good. They are good enough. They are exceptional. They are satisfactory. They are wonderful. They are awesome. I tell my daughter all the time how good she is, how awesome she is. I tell her, just because you're messy don't mean that you're a mess. Just because you fail don't mean you're a failure. You are good. So these are important things that we need to pour into our children, to mold them and shape them and make them into the mighty men and the mighty women of God that He intended for them to be in the first place. This is going to demolish the call of Satan on their lives. This is going to put a stamp of approval on them for the Lord, so that way if they ever go astray, that they would be led back to God and remember, man, this is who I am. This is the call in my life. This is my identity in Christ. And then we call forth the treasures inside of them. We call forth the gifts inside of them. We plant those seeds of greatness in them so that they know who they are. Man, 27 years in the call of Satan before I knew who I was. What? I never want my kids to grow up that way. I never want my kids to not know that God loves them and that they're called and that they're chosen and they're accepted, that they're loved, that they're valuable, man. These are things that we need to implant into our kids. So I just want to encourage you today. that if you have children, that you would take these six things, write them down, and really pour into your kids, man. Let them know that they are loved, they are accepted, they are chosen, they are seen. They are seen. Come on, put your phone down. They are seen by you. They are seen by you, and they are good. Amen. Be blessed.